Good morning, and welcome to Esentia's second quarter 2026 earnings conference call. My name is Anna, and I will be your conference operator for today's session. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. There will be a question and answer session after the speaker's opening remarks, and instructions will be given at that time. Before we begin, please note that the information presented today is preliminary and subject to review and accounting adjustments, as described in the disclaimer section of the quarterly report. Any forward-looking statements made during this conference call are based on information that is currently available. Please refer to the disclaimer in the earnings release for guidance on this matter. I will now hand over the call to Daniel Bustos for some opening remarks.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today to discuss our second quarter 2026 earnings. During today's call, I will provide an update on the continued consolidation of our operations and the progress we are making in executing our strategy. We continue advancing with our expansion plan to support future demand and to further increase our ability to develop new opportunities across the gas-to-power value chain. Our CFO, Steven Griffiths-James, will then provide further details on our financial performance for the quarter, and after that, we will open the call for questions. On slide four, you can see how we continue moving forward with our expansion plan with relevant progress on different fronts for each phase. As we advance with phase one, which remains on track for commercial operation in the first quarter of 2027, we have achieved a key construction milestone with the relocation of the turbo compressor from Villa de Reyes in the state of San Luis Potosí to the new Aguascalientes compression station. For phase two, we have completed all planned pre-construction activities and laid the foundation for the execution phase, and start of service is expected in the second quarter of 2028. In terms of our commercial progress, the average contract term of our essential gas sales portfolio has increased to 5.5 years compared to the 4.4 years recorded at the end of 2025, further validating our long-term commercial strategy and the projected price curve. Contracted sales volumes now exceed phase one capacity by 70 million cubic feet per day. These excess volumes are effectively supporting the commercial framework of phase two. For phase two, we are actively engaged in commercial discussions for demand from both existing and new customers. The aggregate demand under evaluation currently exceeds the remaining capacity available for commercialization, demonstrating strong market interest and continued growth potential. In terms of Esentia USA, we have begun the development of an expansion of our El Encino-Waha corridor with an expected investment of approximately $450 million. This is a highly accretive project that builds directly on our current expansion plan and supports the strategic direction we have been executing. At a time when energy security, affordability, and reliability are increasingly central to economic competitiveness, natural gas infrastructure continues to play an essential role in connecting supply with demand and enabling industrial growth. Moving on to our business performance, we continue delivering solid financial results. Our adjusted EBITDA for the second quarter of 2026 was $91.4 million, a 7.1% increase when compared to the second quarter of last year. On a year-to-date basis, adjusted EBITDA reached $176.5 million, representing a 4.6% increase versus the same period of last year. We have also achieved a defining milestone with the successful closing of a $2 billion debt refinancing. This transaction is an important step in the evolution of our company as it reinforces our capital structure, increases our financial flexibility, and allows us to continue executing our growth strategy with discipline and confidence. I would like to highlight that the new debt obtained investment-grade ratings from the three major rating agencies: BBB- from Standard & Poor's and Fitch Ratings, and Baa3 from Moody's, all with stable outlooks. This validates the resilience of our business model, the quality of our assets, and the strength of our long-term strategy. Later in the presentation, Steven will discuss this in greater detail. Moving on to slide five, in terms of our expansion plan execution, we continue to progress with discipline and commercial traction. For phase one, all activities required to reach the start of service for the first quarter of 2027 remain on track. All required permits have been obtained, with no permit-related restrictions expected. All major construction contracts and long lead equipment packages have been awarded, giving us the certainty and readiness needed to continue advancing on schedule. We have also achieved another critical milestone with the relocation of the turbo compressor from the Villa Reyes compression station to the new Aguascalientes compression station. Construction of the main foundation and other activities remain on track, marking the transition from planning to preparation into visible field execution. At the San Juan compression station, Siemens Energy is manufacturing the compression bundles for delivery in the fourth quarter of this year. At the Villa de Reyes compression station, construction of the bidirectional flow and lateral pipeline projects is progressing as planned. For phase two, we also remain on track for the start of service in the second quarter of 2028. Engineering is proceeding under a clear execution framework with defined roles and risk allocation to support disciplined delivery. For the Aguascalientes and San Juan compression stations, Siemens Energy is manufacturing the new compression units as planned, with delivery scheduled for the third quarter of next year. On slide six, we discuss how, across the energy landscape, the role of natural gas remains essential. It supports reliability, industrial competitiveness, and the ongoing need for secure, flexible energy infrastructure. In the Permian Basin, and particularly in the Delaware sub-basin, production growth continues to reinforce the importance of well-positioned midstream systems that can connect advantage supply with high-value demand centers. For Essentia, this trend is directly aligned with our footprint. According to market analysis, incremental Permian Basin gas supply growth is migrating west into the Delaware subplays that overlap with our existing northern corridor. The seven highest graded areas sit along the Delaware South and West Ridge, precisely within our corridor's zone of influence. We believe this creates a compelling strategic opportunity. By 2032, the seven target subplays are expected to contribute approximately 1.7 BCF per day of incremental output. That potential growth reinforces the value of Essentia's Northern Corridor and supports our conviction that our next phase of growth will be enabled by securing advantage Permian gas supply and extending our cross-border corridor position. With all this, Essentia is well positioned at the intersection of growing Permian supply, resilient Mexican demand, and strategic cross-border infrastructure. Moving forward with slide seven, we show that the first result of these positive trends in the US is our decision to develop more capacity in our Waha El Encino corridor. The projected capacity increase of up to 450 million cubic feet per day will guarantee that we control all the firm capacity for phase two of our expansion plan. This has two material impacts. First, it increases our gas sales contribution margin, reinforcing the fundamentals of our expansion plan. And second, it provides a stronger platform for sustainable value creation. Just as importantly, this investment will enhance our operational independence north of El Encino. It gives us greater flexibility, improves our ability to serve customers reliably, and positions Essentia Gas to capture opportunities in a dynamic and evolving North American energy market. With this expansion, our integrated system will further increase its role as a key aggregator of new natural gas production in the U.S., while also opening new markets for Essentia Gas in the United States. Moving on to slide eight, let's talk about Essentia Power. I am pleased to share the achievement of an important milestone. We have completed the acquisition of a 250-acre plot of land with direct access to our Villa de Reyes compression station in San Luis Potosí. This move marks a defining step in our transition towards a comprehensive energy services model, one that begins with the supply of natural gas, transport and compression, and extends into direct, local, reliable electricity generation for large-scale industrial clients requiring behind-the-meter solutions. It is a model designed for a new industrial era, one in which energy reliability, operational continuity, and speed to market are not simply advantages, but essential conditions for growth. The location of this land is strategic. Villa de Reyes has become a key hub for Mexican industry, with access to natural gas networks, fiber optics, and advanced manufacturing infrastructure. It attracts companies within the automotive sector, global technology firms, and the next generation of energy-intensive investment. With the potential to host up to 600 megawatts of installed capacity and the possibility to offer land for critical customers, this site gives us a powerful platform to serve industries that cannot afford uncertainty: data centers, especially hyperscalers, advanced manufacturers, and other large-scale customers that require dependable energy from the first day of operation. This acquisition reinforces our role as a critical operator of Mexico's energy infrastructure. Now, I will turn the call over to our CFO, Steven Griffiths-James, to talk about our financial results for the quarter.
Thank you, Daniel. Moving to slide nine, I will start with the income statement figures and then move on to the balance sheet. Our adjusted revenue for the second quarter of 2026 amounted to $118.5 million, representing a 9.4% increase when compared to the $108.3 million recorded during the second quarter of the previous year. Adjusted EBITDA for the quarter was $91.4 million, representing a 7.1% increase when compared to the $85.4 million recorded during the same period of a year ago. Adjusted EBITDA margin for the quarter was 77%. Now, let's talk about our balance sheet. As at the end of June 2026, we posted a cash balance of $673.3 million, while total gross debt was $2 billion, resulting in a net debt of $1.3 billion. With this, our net debt to last 12 months adjusted EBITDA leveraging ratio at the end of the second quarter was 3.9 times, below the 4.1 times recorded at end of 2025. This also represents a significant improvement from the 5.9 times at the end of the second quarter of 2025, reflecting our continued deleveraging trajectory. Turning to slide 10, you will see the breakdown of our adjusted revenue in the second quarter of 2026 compared to the same period a year ago, reflecting the 9% increase in our total Essentia business. This was mainly driven by higher net natural gas sales, which grew from $16.9 million to $28.3 million, driven by Essentia Gas through new customers and stronger contribution margins in gas commercialization. CFE transportation and compression revenue was $73.8 million, up from $72.8 million, which includes a full quarter of operation of the Soto La Marina compressor station acquired in May 2025. These effects were partially offset by lower interruptible transportation and joint venture revenue, which declined from $18.7 million to $16.4 million, reflecting a lower interruptible tariff and the consolidation of the Soto La Marina compressor station. Our adjusted operating expenses for the quarter were $17.8 million, an increase of 21% compared to $14.7 million in the second quarter of the previous year. The increase was primarily driven by higher employee compensation across both O&M and administrative functions, reflecting the FX impact on our predominantly peso-denominated payroll, salary increases, headcount growth from 280 to 320 employees, and a higher performance bonus expense related to 2025. By category, adjusted operations and maintenance expenses were $10.0 million, up 24.5%, also reflecting higher insurance premiums. Adjusted administrative expenses were $7.8 million, up 17.0%, partially offset by the reversal of a provision related to Soto La Marina. Moving on to slide 11, we detail the sales in MMBtu of our Essentia Gas business. In the second quarter of 2026, our average sales increased 20%, reaching 204,261 MMBtu per day, which favorably compares to the 170,429 MMBtu per day recorded in the second quarter of 2025. This same 20% growth rate also holds on a year-to-date basis through June. In terms of our illustrative contribution margin, it increased 19% on a year-on-year basis from $0.857 per MMBtu in the second quarter of 2025 to $1.02 this year. We are seeing a similarly positive trend on a year-to-date basis. Turning to slide 12, we are pleased to report the successful completion of our comprehensive refinancing, which enhances our financial and operational flexibility. The refinancing represents an important milestone that strengthens our capital structure, enhances liquidity, and materially improves our long-term financial flexibility. The transaction generated immediate upfront benefits and is also expected to deliver additional annual savings of up to $5.5 million. In addition, the new bullet structure eliminates approximately $72 million of annual scheduled debt amortization, significantly improving our near and medium-term cash flow profile. The transaction also reflects the continued confidence of the capital markets in our business model and financial discipline. The notes offering was structured in two tranches, both with bullet maturities: $1 billion of 6.125% senior unsecured notes due 2023, and $1 billion of 6.5% senior unsecured notes due 2038. The offering was 4.5 times oversubscribed, evidencing strong investor demand from high-quality institutional investors across the order book and highlighting the depth of support for the company's credit profile. Importantly, we achieved investment-grade ratings for the senior notes from all three major credit rating agencies. Moody's assigned a Baa3 rating, while S&P and Fitch assign a triple B- rating with stable outlooks from each agency. In parallel with the notes offering, we established a $600 million committed revolving credit facility. This facility includes a $250 million letter of credit sublimit, further enhancing our liquidity profile and providing additional financial flexibility. We also freed approximately $147 million of restricted cash as part of this transaction. Together, the notes offering and revolving credit facility diversify our sources of funding, extend our maturity profile, and strengthen our ability to respond to business opportunities and market conditions over time. We moved from a project-level financing structure to a simplified corporate capital structure that provides further financial opportunities, synergies, and more efficient administration with its related cost savings. As I mentioned before, our net debt to last 12 months adjusted EBITDA leveraging ratio at the end of the second quarter was 3.9 times. With this, we conclude our presentation. Operator, we are ready for the Q&A session, please.
Thank you. We will now conduct a Q&A session. If you would like to ask a question, please press the raise your hand button located at the bottom of your screen. If you're connected via telephone, please dial star 9. We remind you that all lines have been placed on mute. When it is your turn to ask a question, you will be given permission to speak. We will now pause for questions. Our first question comes from the line of Alvaro Garcia. Please state your company name and ask your question.
Hi there, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Awesome, great. Thanks for the space for questions. My question's on the acquisition of the 250 acres in San Luis. You've noted the favorable sort of risk return profile of vertically integrating into power rather than just sticking to sort of the asset light, you know, selling gas to whoever builds the plants themselves. I guess I'm trying to gauge sort of the magnitude of the pivot from pure midstream into power generation. The slide mentions 600 megas of behind the meter power generation. So if you could just walk us through the rationale of what you're trying to do there, that'd be very helpful. Thank you very much.
Alvaro, thank you very much. Do you mind telling us from which organization you're calling from?
Sure. It's Alvaro Garcia from BTG Pactual.
Ah, perfect. Thank you, Alvaro. And thank you for joining the call. As we've been laying up on the last couple of quarters, there are a couple of aspects and fundamentals on the Mexican market that keep getting stronger. One, a substantial gap between the current power as well as CFE plans for expanding both capacity and transmission. And B, a larger than expected power demand. We're not surprised if you see the fundamentals of Mexico not only being the largest but growing economic partner with the US and the challenges that you're already seeing in the US, those trends are similar in Mexico. So when we started Essential Power and we announced last quarter the start of the development of gas to power, we focused in two critical aspects. First, due to the positive outcome of the changes in the regulation and the demand, we are focusing on behind the meter. And second, we are focusing on customers that require high quality service. Very critical for high quality service, in our view, is integration. Let's remember, we're the only private company through Esencia Gas that can sell long-term natural gas in Mexico. So what we saw in terms of the challenges for power was, it is great that you have power. For that, you need to have available gas, but at the same time, you have to have predictable permitting, predictable zoning, and you don't have to have too many issues interconnecting your land with the gas and the power. When you put all that together, we had the opportunity to acquire this land where we further de-risk investment decisions for potential customers. So what you're going to see, Álvaro, is we're taking the 250 acres in our very, and of course, we're starting the development, but our early assessment is we can place about 600 megawatts of behind the meter. We don't need to do everything at the same time, by the way. And we have enough land that we can offer land to these critical customers. So what you will see, Álvaro, is we bring the gas all the way from Waha, we acquire it, we generate the gas in our own facilities with direct access to our system, and we're going to offer this high-value customers the chance to take part of the land that we have acquired so they are users in the place. That's the kind of integration, and I'm going to be clear, this is not the only thing that we're looking on Esencia Power. We see a long road of growth, of course, and I'm going to be very clear, as you know, developing power, developing industries doesn't happen quickly. It is a high-value addition, very, very de-risk for us. And just this land was a great opportunity for us to further improve our offering.
That's very helpful color, Daniel. Thank you very much. I'll cycle back through the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Paco Suarez. Please state your company name and ask your question.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the call. Congrats on the several milestones achieved so far, and a big abrazo for you. The question that I have is a follow-up on San Luis Potosí. Do you plan to partner with an industrial real estate company to do this, or is this something that perhaps in your conversations with potential off-takers, namely energy-intensive companies, even including hyperscalers, why not? Is that something that you already thinking about?
Thank you very much, Paco, for the question. What I can tell you is we're keeping our options open. The Mexican market is extremely sophisticated in terms of making industrial projects a reality. And you mentioned two of the options that we have. We can have partnership with industrial park developers, for example, if we see the demand as being a little more for on the smaller side. But on the other hand, and this is very, very valuable for us, we want to keep the option open because some of the larger users, as you mentioned, for example, hyperscalers or some of the industrial users that need large tracts of land, they really value the optionality of taking that plot and seeing what is the best way to locate their facilities. So I think we're going to do a mixture, but it is for us very important. We don't want to rush that development because there are not many integrated industrial zones, direct access to energy tracts of that size. So we're going to be playing a combination. What we're sure is they're great partners, and we always like partnering too. So no doubt that we're going to be looking at the two options.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Gabriel Imelfar. Please state your company name and ask your question.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for the call. I'm Gabriel Himelfarb from Scotiabank. My question goes for the Waha El Paso capacity increases. So let me get it, if it's an additional or somehow parallel line to Roadrunner, or it's an extension of Roadrunner, or how's gonna that work within the supply of natural gas into the system? Thank you.
Gabriel, thank you very much for your question. And I can tell you, we're very excited about this project. I think the best way to see it is if you start looking at it as we show it on the deck from El Encino. So when we develop our expansion plan, we developed south of El Encino because we knew that north of El Encino, there were a couple of options. We could develop our own system, or we could also contract capacity. And the technical team did a fantastic job, not only on capturing a very good expansion plan that starts with Tarahumara, by the way. The critical expansion is in Mexico. It's from El Encino to El Paso, which is our Tarahumara pipeline. That pipeline, the expansion of that pipeline, made more and more sense because we kept seeing this tendency, particularly on the Delaware sub-basin, where the investments were coming more and more due to better economic conditions for long-term drilling for the large players. And in the following quarters, we're going to bring you a little more color on that. So when looking at the two options, it was not only that it's our pipeline that we would expand, it actually made more commercial sense for where the gas is. And when you cross the border, there are different options. And yes, we would like to have more capacity all the way to Waha, but the reality is that there are other options to capture gas between El Paso and Waha. And on that part, we're looking at, as I said, different options. There are opportunities to expand pipelines that we already participate into, but there are also opportunities to capture this new gas. And we're looking at the next 20 years of expansion. So we went directly, and I did it personally, to talk to all the leading producers. We talked to our consultants, and we look at where the new production will come, low cost, highly accretive new production. And what we're seeing, Gabriel, is that it makes sense for us to expand Tarahumara, because once you expand Tarahumara, you get to the US, and then you have a wider array of options to capture gas in the US. I don't know if I answer your question.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. We will pause now for any additional questions. Our next question comes from the line of Joanna Silva. Please state your company name and ask your question.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Thank you for the call. I'm talking from Banco Financiera, and I was wondering if you could please elaborate on the financing necessary for the new Essentia Power project you were mentioning before. What's the investment you are projecting, and how is the financing projected?
Joanna, thank you very much. For now, we are not presenting guidance in terms of future projections on Essentia Power. As we advance with the projects, we will provide more detail. In general, our goal is to keep doing what we're doing. I have the pleasure of having Steven leading the finance department. So combinations of equity and debt when the situation arises, but it's not something that at this moment concern us. It's going to take us a little longer. And as I said, as we are advancing, of course, we're going to be communicating the sources that we're going to use for Essentia Power.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Manuel Guerena. Please state your company name and ask your question. Manuel, you can ask your question. We have a follow-up question from Paco Suarez. Please go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Just on your phase two project, can you share the number of how much of the, what is the percentage of the new capacity under phase two that is already backed with contracts from customers? I want to get a sense of how you are commercializing the future expansion and capacity on phase two.
Thank you very much, Paco. And as you remember, we always work in a portfolio basis. So we don't assign particular volumes to particular phases. With that said, as I commented on the presentation, at this moment, our commitments exceed phase one on 70 million cubic feet per day, just to give you an idea. So if you want, you could say that about 70 million cubic feet per day of phase two is already committed. We tend not to see it that way simply because we use the system as a whole. Yes, we are at that level. We are actually, as I commented, having more conversations and negotiations than capacity, which is where we like seeing ourselves, because we need to continue evolving beyond phase two. But we're
Got
very
you.
comfortable with the support that we're having for the project.
Got you. And just to get it right, so in other words, you continue to see these, I mean, the overall needs of energy and natural gas particularly are exceeding by far the what you're planning to add in the markets where you are located, isn't it?
Yes and no. I would say this way. It exceeds the phase two capacity, yes. But the reality, we are not stopping at phase two.
Yeah,
We're going to
okay.
continue growing the system. So to put it in another way, we see no reason why we couldn't capture the extra demand that is coming. The model, Paco, is going to keep being the same, which is being very predictable, low cost, low risk, and a modular approach. And I want to bring something. Thank you for the question. Another point that is not minor, and Paco, you've been following the company for a while. When we went public with our expansion plan, we considered that north of El Encino, we had to pay third parties for capacity. That was our model. And now our technical team has put together a project where we can actually capture the whole margin above in a highly accretive way without having to sell more gas. So even with the phase two volumes, we're going to generate substantially more margin and more growth. And still, we're going to have, because we're seeing it, the demand above phase two. I know that that's not what you answer, what you ask, but it's very exciting because it's just adding more margin to current customers and to customers that were already negotiating for phase two. So it's again, I'm very excited about that.
Got you. It's very helpful, actually. Thank you so much. Congrats again.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Pablo Abraham Peregrina. Please state your company name and ask your question.
Hello, this is Pablo. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi. Congratulations on the results. My question is about the news we saw today in Bloomberg and other sources about a potential IPO or follow-on in the United States. And now I'm guessing this is in order to finance the future projects such as the Essentia Gas and the Essentia US. Is that right? And if you could give us a timeline of when could we expect it. In general, this follow-on, if it'll be in 27 or something like that. Thanks.
Pablo, thank you very much for your question. Unfortunately, due to regulatory restrictions, I had to defer to our press release. I cannot make any further comments. But thank you very much for participating.
Okay.
Thank you. We will pause once more for any additional questions. We have not received any further questions at this point. I will now hand over the call to Daniel Bustos for some closing remarks.
Thank you all for your interest in our company. Please feel free to contact us if you have any follow-up questions or comments. With this, we conclude today's call. Have a great day.